From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. We are talking about the theater today, in particular the theater at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, which is the campus that I work on every day. But across campus is Mary Leonard, who is with the University of Wisconsin La Crosse Department of Theater and Dance. First of all, Mary, welcome to Newsmakers today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ezra.
You've got an upcoming show that starts April 21st and runs through the 30th. It's a wonderful musical version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which I can't wait to see. and we're going to talk about that later. But we're burying the lead here a little bit, Mary, because after quite a number of years, this is your last show at UWL.
Yes, it is. And it's hard to believe. I am retiring at the end of the semester. And I've been here since, 1991. I was adjunct faculty between University of Wisconsin La Crosse and Viterbo. And then in 2000, I got the job here at UWL full time. And so I've been here for a while.
Yeah.
And this is my 70th show here at UWL. But I've done other shows at Viterbo and at the community theater and elsewhere. But this is number 70.
Well, I'm not going to play Barbara Walters or anything like that, but let me just, let's talk a little bit about that amazing career and how it's been that you have spent so many years dedicated to something as wonderful as bringing the theater to people, but not only that, bringing the theater to students. How did you first get involved in the theater?
Well, that's a long story because I was, I was only 10 years old and kind of an accident. I was asked to be in a play when one of the kids in the play couldn't do it. And my neighbor happened to be a director at this community theater where I grew up. And I was kind of nervous and I thought, oh, I don't think I want to do it. And my mom said, oh, you're always so dramatic at home. I just go and put it on the stage. And it was the turning point in my life, you know, really. And then at the age of 10, I declared to my parents I was going to be an actor and follow my dreams of theater. And I never turned back and majored in theater in college and went to graduate school in performance and directing. And then I was thrown into a classroom as part of my graduate studies. And I said, well, I'm not really sure I want to teach, but yes, I'll do this because it's part of my obligations as an assistant. And I fell in love with it immediately and loved the interaction with students. And so that was the pre-show to my show now. Then I used to live in the Twin Cities, did a lot of acting myself, did acting at the Children's Theater, did commercial work, a murder mystery company. I did all sorts of really fun things. And then my husband, Joe Anderson, who is the costume designer here at UWL, got a job offer down here. And I said, sure, why not? Let's go. And we thought, oh, we'll just give it a couple of years, get our, you know, feet wet. And I had nothing going on in terms of a job here in La Crosse. But I thought, well, you know, I'll freelance. And I put my resume out to the community theater and to the pump house and to other places. And I was getting nice little things here and there. And sometimes on the weekend, going back home to the Twin Cities. And then I was hired to direct a show here and then to teach a class and then two classes. And then pretty soon I was taking over for a gentleman who was going to become the dean. And I took over his classes for a year. And I was so hooked on the students. And I loved the direction. I loved directing. I loved the interaction. I loved seeing them transform themselves from nervousness, awkwardness, or, you know, just like self, like doubt to the place of opening night where they're soaring. And that has never gotten old. And it's always new to me. And I that's my favorite thing about teaching and directing. And I've been very fortunate to have such good experiences here.
You said you did some work as an actor before becoming a a director, and before coming here and teaching here, although you mentioned you're teaching in graduate school as well, but a lot of people think when you get involved in theater, your primary goal is to go be famous or go sing on Broadway or act, on Broadway or something like that, and that anything short of that is sort of your second choice. But it sounds like you really became passionate about the teaching aspect very early.
I did, but I still, in my mind, I'd say back when I was in high school or something, I said, yes, Broadway bound.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then what I didn't know was how fantastic the theater scene was in the Twin Cities. And it was every bit as exciting and as fulfilling probably cheaper than going out to New York. And I went to New York to visit a good friend of mine who was just, when I had graduated from college, and she was just trying to make it in the world. And I loved it so much, but I quite honestly, I missed the green, you know. I wanted to come back to where green was, and New York was hustle bustle and fantastic. And look, if somebody had offered me a job, I'd be like, sure, I'll stay. But I wasn't actively looking. I just didn't know that would be a place where I'd want to land and live and try.
Yeah.
And I loved the Twin Cities, and it's even more exciting now and than it was when I was younger. And so I tell my students this, you know, Broadway is a fantastic dream. Dream it, dream big. And I've had some students that have had success in New York, but I also say, don't be afraid to look around you. There is gorgeous and wonderful theater going on all over the place. And so, I guess it was just such a happy, you know, lucky thing that happened to me coming here to La Crosse. And I've never felt like I really disagree with anyone that says, oh, well, if you can't do it, you just end up teaching. I just feel a little bit offended because I think that's not so true. You know, mm-hmm. I am doing it every day in my classroom. I'm acting, I'm directing, I'm every day in a rehearsal. I'm fulfilling all the wonderful things that I have worked really hard on all my life. So I guess I feel very fulfilled, but I never dreamed that I would be a teacher, even in graduate school. Even after graduate school, I thought I wouldn't be, but fate had other ideas for me.
It always does, right?
Yes, yes.
So as an actor, was there a role that you particularly latched on to or that spoke to you more than others?
Oh gosh. I had such interesting experiences postgraduate school. It's funny because I came here to do when I first got the job here at full time in 2000 and somewhere early on in like 2000, I don't remember, three, something like that. They asked me if I would be an actor in one of the shows as sort of a, you know, like, oh, it'd be good for your students to see you act and you could act with them. We'll direct you. And it involved my other, a good friend of mine from Viterbo, Susan Rush. And we both were the two leading women in the play called Trip to Bonneville. And my students were all part of it. And I was like, this is fantastic. I love this role. She's mean. She's rotten. The character I'm playing is just, and it's so fun to play that kind of role because you can just allow yourself to do that. And then at the end of the day, you're so glad that you're not that person.
Yeah.
And you get to unleash all your demons, I guess. But it also was pivotal because I hadn't acted for a few years when I moved here. And I started having all this doubt about myself and thinking, can I do this? Can I do this? And oh my gosh, what am I thinking? And this is, I have like 3-page monologues in this show. And I don't think I can do this. And well, anyway, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I really had to show my students that you may not be confident, but you need to play the part of someone who's confident and that will suddenly appear to you. And so I had to practice everything I preached. which is really good for me and good for the students. And so I'm not afraid to let them know that, oh, I'll make a mistake and I'll make it big. And don't you worry, because you're not perfect the first day of rehearsal. You know, you're just not. But that was in A Trip to Bountiful, and was a beautiful play. And I that was kind of, is special to me.
Looking, starting back in your adjunct faculty days in the early 90s, you must have just had hundreds of students cross your desk, so to speak, or participate in your productions. What are the most important lessons you think that you've been able to teach them through their involvement in the theater?
Yes. Well, I always say to them, you know, people say, oh, theater is my life. And I say, well, don't let theater be your life. Let theater be your passion. And your life needs to be lived by, you know, surrounding yourself with people you care about and your family of friends and your all the experiences that you'll have in life. And then theater is your passion, and work hard and dedicate yourself to that. But also, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to fall on your face a little bit. Just get up and put your shoes on and walk out that door. That's a big lesson. A lot of young students are very vulnerable, and they start to self-doubt or self-critique way too much. And I come from a place of like kind of a nurturing way approach to teaching and directing, because, you know, you have to have trust with each other when you're putting yourself into, you know, strange situations and shows and characters that you're not comfortable with in their skin yet. And the lesson, you know, I keep learning with them. I keep thinking, oh, I should go about it this way. But I keep saying to my students, you know, make a choice, give it a try. If it's the wrong thing, or if it doesn't work, you'll know. We'll know. We'll figure it out together. And I think that's the most satisfying thing young actors, young artists do, is that they think they need to be perfect on the first day, and that would be too boring. You know, they have to have time to grow and evolve and discover and feel like, ooh, the light bulb just went off. I know what she means now. Another thing I would say is a good lesson that I tell my students in a camp. It actually comes from when I teach improvisation class, because in the art of improvisation, you usually hear the saying, you need to say yes to the situation. So if you don't say yes to your scene partner, but what the scene partner says, let's go get ice cream, you need to say, oh yeah, that sounds great. I like, you know, something like that. But you have to like embrace the possibility. And that's what I always tell my students, is don't say no. I mean, say yes to the possibility. I mean, within reason, of course, you know, and whatever they do in their classes and their artistic development, you know, you have to just really make it matter. Because when you make it matter, it matters to the audience. It matters to yourself. So those are top things that I've really taken. And I tell my students all the time, you know.
You talked about the success of some of your students. Now most people who enter a theater program, even on a university level, are never going to work a day in New York. How do you teach students about what constitutes success?
Well, yes, that is, you know, sometimes that comes from the parents. You know, the parents will say, now, is there going to be a job that my child can get after school?
And well, there's a valid question.
Right. It absolutely is. And so there are many times and that's why when you're looking for a school, we really like to sit down with the family and just talk to them about, here, let's be honest. You know, we're not a job placement school. You know, this university isn't, you know, you establish your major and you have doors in which you can open to try to get, you know, get into a career. But theater, in the arts world in general, it's not like that. You don't just, oh, by the way, here's your job after you graduate, so and so. We have apprenticeships, internships, job opportunities that we can guide them to and say, here's a place, like, what, where do you want to go after graduation? Oh, you want to go to Chicago? Well, these are the things that we know about in Chicago. Here's the things we know about here. These are the connections you can make. We talk to them about some of our students go to the graduate school route, and we can help them, you know, get into places that would be good and beneficial for them. There's unified auditions all the time. We even have a group of students that have been out in New York for a long time, started way back a long time ago, and in LA and in Minneapolis and a few in Chicago, now in Florida too, where if I say, oh, I know so-and-so is down in Florida, or so-and-so is out in LA, or so-and-so is out in New York, here's their number, give them a call or text them or email them. And I guarantee you, if you say, I'm a theater major at UWL, these are my alums, they will say, oh, yeah, you can stay on my couch while you go, and I'll tell you all the places to go and get your resume, you know, in the door. And our own students, and this is what's so fantastic and so wonderful, they really take care of anybody. If you say, I'm a theater major from UWL, they will say, oh, come on out. You know, let me guide you, or I'll just answer your list of questions that you have. And they've taken the time to answer the questions.
Mary Leonard is our guest today on Newsmakers. She's a professor in the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse. We've been talking with her about her career, which at least on an official basis is coming to an end after this semester in terms of her professorship at UWL. Her last show will be Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is coming up, be opening on April 21st, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment here on Newsmakers. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with our program, you can always email us. We're at newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a moment on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios on the campus of UWL, where I am speaking with Mary Leonard, who's just across campus, and she's a professor of theater in the Department of Theater and Dance, and is directing the upcoming program Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Mary, it'll be your last show at UWL. Tell us about, for those unfamiliar with the story, tell us about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
A lot of people do know the movie, and I'm trying to think of when the movie came out. I'm not really sure.
In the 80s.
80s?
Well, the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels came out in the 80s, and reading up on this show, I read that it was based on the story of a Marlon Brando, David Niven's movie, which came out in the 60s and was called
Something
Else. Oh, my gosh.
Else. Yes, that's right. That's right. And then the musical, Broadway, was out in the late 1990s, I think, early 2000s. The musical, I think, is better than all of them. I mean, people love the movie, but the musical is just silly fun. It's laugh out loud funny. And of course, without giving it away, it's about two con artists that try to con their way through people's lives. They're pretty shallow people. then they meet their maker, I say. They meet the jackal that's going to be the break of their con career. But it's all done with great dance. Great. My new dance faculty colleague is just fantastic. Great singing, as my music colleague, my theater music colleague, voice teacher, is just done wonders to our students' voices. And just funny script. It's just a wonderful and fun evening. I guarantee it's laugh out loud funny.
And it opens, as I said, on April 21st and runs through the 30th. There's the three main cast members in this. How many students are involved in this production?
Well, we have, we have over, when you think of all the stage management team and the casting,
yeah.
We have at least 20 four cast members, and oh boy, I would say, I'm going to get it wrong, but maybe 50 people or 45 people working on this, plus faculty, all like designers, and my colleagues are designing sound and lights and soundboard engineer. And it's just a massive amount of people that I don't think anyone realizes, you know, take part in this. And then today they were setting up for the orchestra, which is huge. And that's a whole nother contingent. So, you know, we're like, and all the students that work in the scene shop and the costume shop throughout the time. So it's hundreds of people when you think about it.
Well, and you were talking about just the educational value of coming through the theater. But really, in terms of the roles that people play, acting is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there are people from virtually every trade involved in making a theatrical production go.
Yes. And that's what we always tell when we talked about earlier about how do you, you know, validate a student who wants a career in theater. Well, theater jobs are just sometimes our majors or our design majors or our and soundboard or stage management majors or arts admin majors, all in the theater department. They go get jobs in not theater. They're in the entertainment business or they're in something else or they're there are so many facets that come and make this whole picture outside things that have nothing to do with acting that are needed and essential to the total creation of the performance piece, not just acting. You're right.
How long have the students been working on this show?
Well, we've been working on it since, I want to say I think December we had a concept meeting, and then we hit the ground running actually in rehearsals in February, then we had spring break and we came back after spring break and just went full tilt into it. But we do six shows a year, so yeah. We're overlapping and waiting for one show to end before and sometimes the creation of the other show is happening in the scene shop while the other show is going on. So it's a pretty multi-layered place here.
So you're when you're getting a show ready that early, like is that early meeting that's happening so many months before the production, yeah. Is the cast already set at that point, or is it like how early are these students auditioning for roles in the yes. shows that they're in?
We did have auditions last December at the end of our semester, our first semester. We did have auditions and we cast the show so that people could, you know, prepare in advance. And that's something that we really want them to do, is to think about it, to learn the music as much as they possibly can. And so that has been in place, and they knew starting this semester that they were already in the show. So, and it's helpful for the designers because they can, you know, think about the costumes for that particular person. And it's helpful for, the voice teachers to be able to get a head start on helping with vocals. And
you mentioned working with other faculty on this production. Obviously the director doesn't work alone. Who are the other staff that you're working with?
Yes. Well, I have my fantastic musical director is our voice teacher, and her name is Catherine Skemp Moran. And she is not only teaching vocals, but she's also conducting the orchestra, which is another job on top of that. And our new dance faculty, Ashley Dober-Grotz, is just fantastic. Brand new. She's creating a whole new theater dance minor. And the dance is just sensational in this. And I have a wonderful student stage manager, Carson Krieger, who is a senior, and this is their final capstone project, and that's pretty exciting. My colleague across the hall, Megan Mori, is my scenic designer. I have a student, Tracy Joe, lighting designer, and I hope I don't forget anybody. My husband, Joe Anderson, is doing the costume design.
Please don't forget Joe.
I know. And other students assistant stage managing, and my colleague Lori is our production manager, and Mandy Colby is my props. So we've got most of my colleagues are all hands on deck for this show, doing something.
The show is April 21st through the 30th, and there are various times and days that the tickets are available for, and people can find that information at UWL's website, I would imagine.
Yes, that's right. The theater site. You could just Google in theater, and you'll find the box office information and everything.
So UWL's website is uwlax.edu, or you can just search for UWL Theater on Google or wherever else.
Yes.
Mary, I'm pleased to have talked to you about this show, but also to have heard about your career and how much it means to have been involved in the arts in our community for so long. Thank you very much for joining us today on Newsmakers. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Mary Leonard is professor in the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. And speaking of UWL, coming up next on Newsmakers, the revival of the summer musical, which is not just a student production, but something that you could be involved in. And we'll find out more details about that from another UWL professor right after this. If you'd like to revisit our conversation with Mary, if you missed part of it, or if there's a part of another show that you might have missed over the last few weeks or months, all of our programs are archived on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. We're continuing in just a moment here on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studios, joined by Greg Parmeter, who is the assistant professor in the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Greg, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So we're talking about the relaunch of something very exciting. People who have been in La Crosse, around the La Crosse arts scene for a while will know that there's a history of a lot of arts organizations. Kind of, there's a lull in the summertime, but at UWL, historically, there has been this great opportunity, not just for students from UWL, but also students from other institutions in town and members of the community and everything to come together and get involved in a summer musical. And you are starting it up again.
Yeah, it's been 5 years. Part of that was the COVID interruption. But also we had two summers where we were in the planning and execution stages of a complete rigging overhaul in the Tolan Theater, which is our main theater on campus. So those circumstances sort of conspired together to put a moratorium on the summer show. And we've finally gotten back to a place where the facility is ready to do it. Our students are ready to do it. And our program demands it. The summer musical has always been this wonderful opportunity for all of the arts organizations in town, community members, university students to come together to create art. And it has a long history here in the community, because as you mentioned, for a long time, none of the theaters in town were doing locally produced theater during the summer. And we've seen an uptick of that, and delightfully so. Anytime we can get more theater and serve audiences, it's wonderful for all of us. But this is an opportunity to bring us all back together and start what really was a grand tradition here in La Crosse.
So what have some of the productions you've done over the years? What kind of musicals are you producing in the summertime?
Oh, there's been a wide range from delightful family fare like Camelot several years ago. We've done Rent as part of the summer musical program. The most recent one we did was the comedy, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is, of course, a delightful and fun musical comedy. So it's been the entire spectrum of musical theater that's out there. And that's really been what's unique about it, is it hasn't ever been just one style of musical or one type of performance. It really has been something that the entire canon of musical theater has been a part of. And so that was one of the things we took into consideration when we were looking at the shows we were producing, despite the fact that it was, you know, that gap of 5 years, we wanted to ask, well, what haven't we produced in the season for a while? And one style that I think has been missing in recent years is that golden age style musical. So that's how we landed on Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
Yeah, you kind of stole my next question, which is how did you pick Cinderella? But if anybody hasn't seen Cinderella, talk about what makes that show so great.
As a faculty, we got together, and the question that we had to start with above anything else was, did we even want to reintroduce doing the summer musical? Because the logistics of doing it, the demands on our time over the summer, when we're otherwise preparing for the next semester and not on contract, were considerable. So before we could even begin to talk about shows, we had to talk about whether or not we had the wherewithal to produce the show. And the resounding answer from both our students and the faculty was, yeah, it was too special of a tradition. It was too good of an opportunity in the summer to let go. And then we had to ask, all right, it's been 5 years. And there are some people who that's long enough that they no longer consider that part of their, you know, regular habit or regular traditions. So how do we bring people back to our theater over the summer when they haven't been able to do it for years? And so we have to think about how we bring people in the door, but how we serve our students, which is still a priority of the summer musical. How do we get those opportunities for the students attending UWL? But also, what kind of a show is going to draw in community members? So we looked at dozens of different shows that met the logistical requirements of how many actors and the technical aspects of it. We looked at different styles that would meet the singers that we know we have here and the actors that we have here. But also we felt we needed to choose something that was a little bit different what other theaters were producing here in town this summer. And so, you know, we looked at Rent being done here in May, Legally Blonde coming up. And at that point, it was classic musical is where we needed to go. And I personally adore Rodgers and Hammerstein. their scores, the music is second to none in musical theater. And Cinderella just has that beautiful story, that beautiful style of music that people really know and are attracted to. Kids like it, adults like it. And so it was an opportunity to bring all kinds of different people together. So that's where the decision to do Cinderella came from. And if you know Cinderella, you know the story. But the script that we're doing is actually based on the Whitney Houston Brandy television version that was done in the early 2000s. So it's updated from the original Rodgers and Hammerstein script from the 1960s. It's been updated. It's a little bit more contemporary. It's a little bit funnier and it's a little bit more fun. So when you come to the show, you get that full experience. There's some really moving, beautiful moments and some beautiful songs. But there's also just some wacky fun comedy in the show as well. So it's the perfect summer musical because you're going to come to the theater and be transported. You're going to come to the theater and it's going to feel like something special, something different.
So how, when you're putting together a show like that, how do you know when you're striking the right balance so that the purists are going to go, oh, here are the songs that I love. And an audience with more modern sensibilities is going to go, oh, here's a more relatable way to tell this familiar story, and yet the purists are not going to go, ooh, gross.
Right. And that is the challenge. Thankfully, there's a reason why Rodgers and Hammerstein shows are great. There's a reason why this score in particular is so well loved. It's because it's outstanding. It's excellent. And then it's just about being careful about how you present the material that's there. And this particular book, this particular version of it, really captures that sensibility of that Rodgers and Hammerstein had in the original, but allows a more contemporary view. Because let's be honest, the story of Cinderella for some is very dated. there's that idea of Cinderella being a damsel in distress who's only saved by, you know, the machinations of the fairy godmother and the fact that she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so she attracts the prince. This particular script captures the idea that Cinderella takes her own fate into her own hands, and she takes the chances she needs to do. She is the own hero in her story. She gets that help from a side, but that's part of the hero's journey. Like, no hero in any story, when we talk about these kind of stories, does it all on their own. They all have sort of that supernatural help, that aid, but at the end of the day, they're the ones still having to fight the dragon, to go on the journey, to go on the adventure. And in this case, Cinderella very much takes control of her destiny. And my favorite thing about this book is she doesn't win over the prince because she's the most beautiful woman at the ball. She wins over the prince because she's kind, she's smart, she's clever, and she challenges him. She inspires him as a person and not just attracts him for her looks or her beauty. And so that there's a wonderful message there for people about what truly makes someone beautiful. And it goes so much more deep than the skin of what they look like. It really is how somebody takes and touches your soul, your mind, your heart, all of those things. And I think that's a way that this story is modernized that reads to contemporary audiences that are used to those heroines in modern stories that really are rescuing themselves as opposed to waiting for the handsome prince to come waltzing down the mountain or out of the palace and slaying the dragon. Young girls especially, and even young boys, no longer accept that because they no longer expect that as being the paradigm. It's a different world than even when you and I were growing up. And being the father of two children, one boy and one girl, I think that is much, much better that they can see themselves as the hero, but they can also see women being the hero at the same time that men get to be the hero. And this book captures that idea.
The arts really speak to people on a level and in a way that most aspects of our lives really don't. I mean, people really attach themselves to, well, the music that they listen to or the books that they consume or the theater that they watch or whatever. And you talked about your own children and wanting this to be sort of a model for them or for people of their age. And I'm wondering, talking about the influence of the arts in our lives, how much is any production that you're going to put on, how much of is it important for it to be a reflection of the times that we're already in versus a challenge looking forward to the way things could be in our future?
This is the great role of art in our lives. And it's always the debate. Does art hold a mirror up or does art, you know, change how things are? And I think art can do both. And for me, every show that I do has in some way, shape, or form to be an expression of who I am as a person and how I would like the world to be and how I would like the world to look. That's the power of the arts above all else, is it does have the ability to change minds, to touch hearts, to inspire people to doing something maybe that they're not used to or they don't know about, but can open their eyes. And I mean, my favorite quote about theater comes from Oscar Wilde. And Oscar Wilde talked about how he regarded the theater as the greatest of all art forms because it was the single best way for human beings to share with one another the sense of what it is to be a human being. And that has been a guiding principle for me in my work in theater for the last probably 15 years since I encountered that quote. It's my opportunity to share with people in the audience that sense of humanity. It's the story of who we are, of where we've been and where we're going. And as artists, we have a responsibility to inspire people to be better, to do something more, and to influence our society and our culture. And we can do that by bringing people together. I mean, theater is in many ways the great equalizer because you bring people from all different walks of life, both into witness the event as audience members, but also to participate in the event. And my feeling is there is no witness to theater. We're all witnesses, but we're also all creators of theater. Even the audience has incredible power to impact the performance just in being there and how they participate as viewers of it. So we can bring people of all walks of life and share a story together and find commonality that breaks through to the next level. If we can find commonality in this small way, if we can experience what it is to love, to lose, to fight battles in a safe environment, which we know at the end of the day we can go home, but we're still changed by that event, that performance, then as artists, we have to take every opportunity to attempt to make the world a slightly better place every time we put something out there on the stage.
We're talking to Greg Parmeter, who's a theater professor at UWL, and we're talking about the Summer Musical, which is coming back after a five-year hiatus, and they're doing Cinderella, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. Greg, this is not Disney Cinderella. There are no mice. There are no birds masquerading as textile artists or anything like that. But tell me about the cast that you're looking for.
Well, we're looking for members of the community and members of both universities to come in to help tell this story. The classic story about Cinderella of the abused and forgotten girl. Who's taken advantage of and denied what is hers. And this is her opportunity to change her fate, to change who she's seen by her society. So I'm always looking for people who want to be a part of telling a larger story. And this is one of those stories that I think, while it feels old-fashioned to some, requires people who have a desire to have a little bit of fun, to make a little mischief, and also to share something of themselves with an audience. So, you know, we're looking for anybody that has a desire to be on stage and to share a bit of themselves with the community.
In terms of the actual roles in the show, are most of them going to be student roles, or is there a chance that somebody from the community might show up and wow you and get to be a more significant character?
God, I hope they do. And that's one of the things that I think some people tend to forget about this process is, though it's being produced by UWL and it is part of our program, the value of this is to give our students the opportunity to work with other people who might be professionals in their own right, community members that they can make connections with that may benefit them moving on. And my feeling on as a director is I'm rooting for everybody who auditions for me, because at the end of the day, casting a show is a challenge. And I want everybody who gets up to be a solution to a problem, right? So every time somebody walks in the door and they're going to perform, we have this misconception that you know, directors are sort of, you know, cold, calculating, and, you know, it's not a supportive audience. Whereas every person who walks in on that stage, I want them to be great. I want them to be great because that solves a problem for me. And if everybody walks in the door and they're all great, that's a whole different problem, but it's a lot easier of a problem to deal with. So, you know, absolutely, a community member could come in and be a lead in this show or a significant member of the ensemble. And God, to be honest, I hope they do, because I think that also benefits our students to understand that in the real world, there is real competition for roles. And I think every university student, whether they're at Viterbo, whether they're at UWL or any of the other campuses around the country with theater programs, theater departments can get a little bit insulated. And so the students sometimes forget that when they get out there in the professional realm and they start auditioning, there's going to be added competition. There's going to be people who are older and more experienced than you. There's going to be people who are more age appropriate for certain roles, which we don't always get to do at the university. Most of the time we're casting, you know, young 20-somethings in all age brackets, where this is an opportunity for us to have a more realistic representation of the characters on stage.
When you're looking at members of the community coming in for this, talk about what value you expect a person to be able to find in being hands-on involved in the arts in a way that they're not always in their day-to-day lives.
Everyone needs that creative outlet. And I always say actors are actors, whether you've decided to pursue it as a career or not, there's an actor in all of us. And the opportunity to come in and share that work with other people, and not just an audience. People think, you know, performance is the real, you know, value and the real goal, but really it's that day-to-day process of sharing, of making connections with another person on stage. That's where the real benefit is. And my hope is that those community members who do come in and audition and are part of the show also are able to share their experiences with our students, their knowledge, their wisdom, the things that they have been through and that they've discovered. And so suddenly it becomes a situation where it's not transactional amongst everybody there. It's an opportunity to share experience together and to collaborate on something greater than we are as individuals. So my hope is always that when people come in the door, not only do they benefit our students, but they benefit from the culture that our students are creating here at UWL.
So now that you've sold them, what do they have to do?
So auditions are coming up April 24th and 26th. And for more information on that, they need to either go to the Department of Theater and Dance's website through uwl.edu, or they can email me directly, gparmeter@uwlax.edu. And I can give them the additional information, but they're going to come in, they're going to sing a song, they're going to learn some choreography and hopefully have a good time, as opposed to that terrifying process of auditioning that some people think auditioning is. We try to make it a little bit easier and a little bit more fun for people that haven't done it in a while. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if somebody's an experienced actor, it doesn't matter if they've never done a show before, or it's been 20 years since they were in, we want to make the process a little less stressful for them. So you'll come in, you'll sing a song, you'll do a little dance, and then we'll see about maybe we'll read some stuff from the script. I don't know yet.
So who picks the song?
That'll be my musical director, Kristen Friedland, who's a community member who has been hired to do the show. She's done some work at the community theater and the schools in town, and wonderfully talented. So I'm very excited. And our choreographer for this show is Ashley Dobrogosh, who is our new dance faculty at UWL, since we were able to add an official minor. She has been leading our dance program all year and is a wonderful choreographer and an incredible teacher on top of it.
Well, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to seeing the musical this summer. And for those interested, auditions are on the 24th and the 26th, with information at uwlax.edu, right?
That's correct.
Greg Parmeter is Assistant Professor of Theater and Dance at UWL. Thank you very much for joining us again, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. There are a couple of opportunities to catch our show every week. We're on Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network, 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music, 88.9. And we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers. My producer is Kate Spranger. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next time for another Newsmakers here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our daughter's looking dreamy-eyed.
The prince is giving a ball. They say he wants to find a bride. He may find one at the ball.
If only he'd propose to me.
I pray that he'll propose to me.
Why shouldn't he propose to me?
I wish I hadn't married Sam.
Pull in your little diaphragm.
Satin jade.
And me, I'm in a pink brocade.
And me, I'm in the satin gray.
His Royal Highness Christopher Rupert, son of Her Majesty Queen Constantina, Charlotte Ermentrude, Winery
Maisie.
Maisie. Marguerite Anne is giving a ball.
I wish I were a bolder girl.
I wish I were a younger girl.
I wish I were an older girl.
The prince is giving a ball. The prince is giving a ball.
His Royal Highness Christopher Rupert, son of his Majesty King Maximilian, Godfrey Ladislaus, Leopold Sidney.
Sidney!
Sidney!